When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hi folks, I'm Jack Kennedy and welcome to FarmTech Talk, the livestock show once again. CAP continues to make the August headlines, but the late summer sunshine has given a further boost to our cereal colleagues and allows them to tidy up the 2021 harvest. So shout out to our supporters, Ornua, European Milk Forum and Grassland Agro for helping us make this happen. In a minute, I'm going to talk to Adam, Declan and Aidan. But before that, I want to grab our editor, Justin McCarthy, to get his views on what he's writing about this week, suggesting a suckler quota is needed in Ireland. As per normal, we'll start with the quickfire buzz around. So let's get straight into it. Remember, email your questions to farmtechtalk@farmersjournal.ie or WhatsApp 086-836-6465. Adam, two quick fire questions for you. First one in from Ray. Any tips on preventing mastitis with autumn calvers?
Yeah, Jack, I think, to be honest, it's probably that pour on. I see lads using it. And look, it's relatively cheap, probably 70 or 80 cent a cow, Jack. If you bring the cows in maybe every 4 or 6 weeks and just a little bit across their back, you can go with tar, you can go with licks, but the tar generally doesn't stay that long on them. And maybe when they're in the crush, you could spray a little bit of this. Tar isn't the job it used to be. We'll put it into a tin with a hand. You can get it now in like a Windoline bottle, you know, that sort of a spray. And it's quite handy to apply. But I think the pour on, I think, is the best.
As if you wash the windows. Second question, Adam, did you do the beef weight weighing on Tullamore Farm yet?
Yeah, he weighed there 2 weeks ago, Jack. Pretty happy with the weights. Maybe the heifer cows could have been a little bit heavier. Maybe bull cows are gaining 1.31 kilos a day. Heifer cows are doing 1.13. But we'd expect maybe that to keep going or whatever up to the back end. He's also started a meal feed there. The bull cows are getting about a kilo and a half. The heifer cows are getting a kilo. And that's in advance of weaning for beef, of course. 4 weeks concentrate feeding before weaning, 2 weeks after. So it's just to comply with that scheme to make sure we're okay on it.
Thanks, Adam. Declan, looking at you for the quick fire round. Ask Declan, how can a heifer be overfat at a 260 kilo carcass weight at 17 months of age? Is management a problem? Declan, talk to me.
Yeah, well, I guess management is a problem there, Jack, because she should have been killed before that. But it's also an industry problem. Look, it's the type of animal that we're working with. We're faced with this animal, you know, I assume it's an early maturing type heifer that's been fed at grass and is going over fat at very light weights, and it's the problem with the beef with the dairy beef industry. You know, that's an animal I'm guessing is 17, 18 months old, farmer doing everything right, hitting targets, finishing animals off grass, a low amount of concentrate going in, you know, young slaughter age, everything that we're trying to achieve has been achieved, and yet here we are with a very light carcass and it going over fat and getting penalized in the factory. So it's an industry problem that we need to tackle. Reducing okay. carcass weights is an issue. The only way to overcome it there with your early type, you know, I'm assuming he was trying to get another few kilos of carcass on before he let them off. the only thing to do there is look for flat price deals with factories that can be got. There's some factories out there that would have specific customers for that type of early mature and heifer off grass supermarket contracts and stuff like that. So it's worth pricing around and going down that road with those type of animals.
Okay, excellent. I might pick you up on that again on the main show. Second question for you, Declan. Why would Declan be advising to feed meal to finishing bullocks if there is lots of grass, weather is good, there is only my father at home as I'm at the beach? Declan, talk to me.
I'd love to know who sent that one in, Jack. But the reason we're feeding meal is we're trying to get to top up the energy of that grass. So even though, look, we're having a great week, 10 days of grass, it could change very quickly again. We had started feeding meal from the 1st of August. So I wouldn't be going chopping and changing. Once you commit to it, you commit to it, and that's it. So we're keeping the meal in there, keep feeding. You know, if weather changed again, dry matters go down in grass, you're not going to get the performance. So it's the system we're running, and it's working fairly well. So okay, we're going to stick to it.
Excellent. We might pick it up again in the main show. Thanks for that for the moment, Declan. Aidan, looking at you, two questions again for you on the quick fire. Why is Aidan against boluses to cure a high cell count cow? Where did that come from, Aidan?
I don't know, Jack. Yeah, but I suppose, like, I'm not really against boluses as such, but there's a lack of evidence that they work, which is my main concern. And farmers are spending a good bit of money into something, into these things. You know, they're 10 or 15 euros a pop, and the very little research. To be honest, there's no research to say that they're no independently verified research to say that they actually work. And in cases that they do work in, perhaps, you know, giving them a bucket of water would have done the same thing. Like, we just don't know, you see, without the control, without the research. So that's the key thing.
Okay, yeah, I think some guys are paying even more, I think, than for some of them boluses. Yeah, but as you say, I don't have any more detail in terms of what boluses he's talking about. Second question for you, Aidan, on the quickfire. Is there Chagas research to back up the proposed changes to the nitrate review?
There is on certain measures, and it probably does not in more measures. And I mean, one that's catching a lot of farmers is the fact that slurry and soil water now needs to be separate. And farmers are asking, where is the science behind that? And my understanding is that there isn't any. In terms of reduced nitrogen levels you know, the different banding per cow, there is research there to say that, like, you know, there's you know, putting on more nitrogen is going to lead to a decrease in water quality, and that higher yielding cows, you know, effectively recycle more nitrogen. So there is science behind that, and there's probably science behind the closing dates as well, in fairness, that, you know, the autumn is a high risk time for nitrogen being lost, because the rains come in autumn and they flush away basically what nitrogen is in the soil. So that's a higher risk period than the springtime, which is reason, I suppose, why the department have moved for earlier, a longer close period in the autumn, or earlier close period in the autumn.
Thanks, Aidan, for that. Back to you in a minute. Justin, listen, thanks for your time. We called you in because you have a very interesting piece on page two this week. If I'm reading this right, you're calling for a quota or a cap on suckler cows. Talk to me.
No, certainly not a cap, Jack. What I'm looking for, or what we're trying to tease out, is trying to look at how we can develop a strategy or a policy that can ultimately improve economic viability and put more money in suckler farmers' pockets. We saw last week there was rightly a very strong reaction to the proposal contained within the government's National Strategic Cap Plan to put a cap on cow numbers. And look, as I say in this week's paper, it either shows a complete lack of innovation within the department, or really a desire to develop policy that will tick a box in Brussels rather than work for farmers. But I think the real issue here, Jack, is we can focus on caps and cow numbers. But look, the reality is that, as Pat O'Toole highlights in last week's paper and again this week, what we have seen is a huge withdrawal of financial support, direct income support to suckler beef production within numerous caps. And this cap is going to be no different. And it is really going to undermine the economic viability of suckler beef production with that drop off in supports under pillar one. And I suppose that's going to be the real issue for suckling farming, more than a cap. And I appreciate a cap is a very emotive term to tell a farmer he's not allowed to keep any more cows. And I suppose, look, what I looked at in the paper, Jack, is how I suppose we can use pillar two supports, other funding mechanisms such as the Brexit Adjustment Reserve Fund and the government's 1.5 billion euros commitment under the Carbon Fund to, I suppose, help compensate the suckler beef sector for that drain of funds out of pillar one. And let's be clear, Jack, suckler beef production all over the world depends on one of three things: cheap land, growth hormones or supports. Suckler farmers in Ireland don't have cheap land or growth hormones, and they need the supports, and that is critical. And I suppose I believe the best way that we can secure the necessary funding for the sector, I suppose, is coming forward with farmer-led policy that can develop, that can deliver for the Department of Agriculture and their objectives, while providing a strong support and a workable scheme for farmers. And I do think that a quota-linked scheme is one option that should be considered, but only one option.
But I mean, Justin, is quota not just the same as a cap? Like, or are you suggesting maybe that this is coupling kind of by another name?
No, Jack, a cap is a very, very crude tool. And it's like the old adage of taking a sledgehammer to crack a nut. And it's totally unfair and it's wrong. A quota is something very different. What basically would happen here is there would be a significant suckler or payment made per suckler cow based on the number of quota units that you had. Now, okay, yes, there would be a national quota, but the difference between a quota and a cap is if you're a good suckler farmer, Jack, and you want to go up in numbers, you get a bit of extra land and you're making money out of the job, you can go out into the market and buy quota at whatever economic value it's worth to you and actually go up in those cow numbers. If I'm maybe an elderly farmer or somebody that wants to take a step back, or I've lost a bit of land or something changes on my farm, I can take my quota out and sell it to you. And I think that is where the big difference is. And also, Jack, I think it's important. We can be innovative here. Surely in terms of a farmer, particularly an elderly farmer, wants to exit or wants to reduce his cow numbers. There is no reason, and I think the Minister McConnell should look at these innovative strategies, that quota could be sold by that farmer tax-free.
Justin, if I'm picking this up properly, I mean, what you're saying is you're putting a value on the suckler cow quota, but effectively you could be tying a kind of I call it a family farm into a kind of an unprofitable and unproductive enterprise with little incentive to get better at what they're actually doing.
I think, to be clear, Jack, the quota is only one element of this scheme, and I don't think the Farmers' Journal has ever shied away from the need to drive technical efficiency into farming and particularly suckler farming as well. So there could obviously be other strands to this. But yeah, in terms of tying them in, you're actually not tying anybody in. If a farmer wants to leave the scheme, he can take his quota and sell it and go off and do what he wishes. And again, that allows other farmers that may want to increase and may get extra land or may want to change their farming practice, or a son or a daughter coming home into the enterprise, that allows them to buy that quota and keep their numbers up. So it provides a flexibility as well. But look, as you're quite rightly say, Jack, the quota is one element. The scheme should also be designed to deliver and support technical efficiency at farm level as well.
Justin, how much money are you looking for? What's this going to cost?
The IFA, Jack, have come out this week looking for €300 per cow. And if you take, there's between 900 and 1 million suckler cows, you're probably looking at a funding pot of around €300 million. And I think in terms of to adequately compensate farmers for the loss of direct income supports out of Pillar 1, that's ballpark where you're talking. You're talking about €300 million. And I would suggest, Jack, given that there's only a 5-year cap scheme, that this scheme should actually run for more than 5 years. It should be at least a 7-year commitment to putting the scheme in place if there is a quota link to it.
And again, I suppose for we talked about this with Adam before. I mean, he was talking about the cap, and it was going to kind of push out young farmers, I suppose, or if there was young farmers interested in suckling, they weren't going to be able to get in. Like, I mean, in your kind of proposal here, are you suggesting that young farmers could potentially get into this into suckling if they wanted?
Yeah, and again, Jack, I should have said it. That's where a cap is very different than a quota. It's, a national reserve could be created, a quota national reserve, or there could be a clawback when quota is traded between farmers that part of that is used to form a national reserve. On the €300 million, Jack, and I know it sounds a lot of money, but look, I think we have to put it into context. There's a Pillar 2 support package there, totaling €700 million, provided the minister, as he has promised, can deliver full co-financing. There's a €1.5 billion carbon scheme there, and there's a Brexit adjustment reserve fund there of €1 billion as well. The money is there. I think we need to be innovative in terms of how we design a scheme that actually can solve a problem or align to a policy objective within the department, but also deliver for farmers. And ultimately, delivering for farmers is improving the economic sustainability and putting more money in their pockets from stock.
Justin, I leave you on this, and it's not to be cynical, but I mean, the government could decide not to do something like this because, I mean, they could say, they could stand back and say, well, sure, suckler cow numbers are falling anyway. Why do we want to put a value on it and try and hold suckler cow numbers if they continue to evolve and fall? Well, then, you know, let the industry you know, move in that direction if that's what farmers want.
And Jack, you're right. And that's why I suppose I know for a lot of people, this will, the term of a quota will cause a level of concern. But I think what we've allowed the suckler industry, and I think we're either going to put a policy, the government should put a policy in place to support it, or else it is sending a very clear message, and it's long overdue message, that we have no longer an interest. But they have to be very clear on the consequences of that in terms of the economic activity in rural towns and villages and parts of the country where dairying is not prevalent, Jack, and also from an environmental point of view. The suckler cow, Jack, on a lot of marginal land is critical to maintaining the environmental dividends that land generates, and that has been shown time and time again all over the world. So I think it's a very easy and glib statement to say, oh, we don't need the suckler herd. We need the suckler herd on a lot of fronts, but if we're going to protect it, we need to make sure the man, calf, and the cow is getting adequately rewarded.
Justin, excellent to get your thoughts. Thanks for the insight.
Thanks, Jack.
Adam, I mean, you heard this from Justin, and you, I'm sure you were talking about it all week. I mean, what do you reckon will be farmers' thoughts on that idea of a quota for suckler cows?
No, well, the first thing, Jack, I suppose, is an idea. We haven't had a lot of ideas over the last couple of weeks as part of this CAP consultative process. And I think it's real food for thought. Look, it's going to take a while to settle in that, I suppose. When I think of quota, I think of restrictions. But the big thing in this one is that you're getting paid, I guess, on that quota. And it's a mode of compensation for a policy change. And it's to make sure that we'll say the suckler herd doesn't die off by 1,000 cuts and they keep chipping away at it for the next 5 years, that we get a substantial compensation package in there and let maybe older farmers or smaller farmers, they could maybe reduce the numbers. And maybe that would happen in terms of, they would, cash in on their quota and allow other farmers then to maybe increase numbers. I suppose you have a lot of questions there around how would a suckler farmer, finance, purchasing quota. If it went the same way as entitlements, it could be making 2 or 3 times the value of that quota. So that'd be a big investment, and you'd need to be sure of your future as regards where you were going on that. But it's definite food for thought, and I know it's going to generate an awful lot of discussion out there, and that's good, because people, maybe other ideas will be stemmed out of that, and I guess farm organizations are meeting as well in the next week or so we're going to see a lot of detail coming out of there as well. But it's definitely a first idea.
Yeah, and I mean, I think as Justin was making out, like there's other strands to it. It mightn't be just this piece, like there might be other pieces that come off the back of it. So listen, I think we'll come back to you again on that in the next couple of weeks. I mean, there's a good few bits and pieces I want to get through, Adam, so I'm going to move on off it and we can come back to it again. Talk to me on prices. Any big moves this week? I know there was a bit of you've been kind of egging it there for the last couple of weeks that there was a bit of a push on price or a bit of a pull on price, I suppose. But, there's still a lot less cattle killed this year, isn't it? Fair to say that.
Absolutely, Jack. We're up on 70,000 less. Look, this was a real cynical move by factories. And sometimes factories say, oh, why won't farmers work with us more closer? It's what has happened over the last 2 weeks, Jack. That's why farmers won't work closer with them, because they've seen an opportunity to pull the price, every one of them, in light of, I guess, maybe a little bit more bullocks coming online. They tried it. They didn't get away with it. I suppose weather has played into the farmer's hand again, because good weather in the south has taken pressure off again. A lot of field work being done this week, so it's taken maybe the mind off, killing cattle. And factories have had to steady the price this week, and they didn't get away with pulling anymore. Procurement managers last week were saying, oh, bullocks are going to be at 410 next week. Bullocks aren't at 410 this week. If anything, they might have improved a little bit. 415 is the absolute base. And I know farmers getting 420 for bullocks. I know farmers also getting 425 for heifers. And up in Donegal, obviously, they're paying that 10 cent bonus again. So it hasn't worked. They tried it for 2 weeks. And I think we're going to see, a fairly positive back end here, where we'll be estimating 40,000 less cattle between now and the end of the year. So that's going to keep numbers hopefully tight until Christmas.
The other big piece you have this week, Adam, is on the beam job. You have a nice piece on the inside back page. Like, so effectively, you're calling out that there's 3,600 farmers that are going to kind of lose out or get clawed back on this piece.
There is, Jack, and that's quite worrying, because I guess those 33,000 farmers joined the scheme. If we take a step back and just move our way through it, 77 million paid out to those farmers. 18,000 of those 33,000 got across the line. So 18,000 got through their stocking rate, out the gap. And within that, there was 5,000 that applied to defer their period to the second reference period. And they actually got letters to say that they went across the lines, so they were okay. The problem is now we've 10,000 left in it. that are still in beam that applied to the further reference period to the from the 1st of January 2021 to the 31st of December 2021. And they're the farmers now I'm worried about. There's 3,600 farmers that are going to apply a penalty to their payment. They didn't apply to the further reference period. So they basically closed the door on beam and they're going to get a penalty for that. The maximum penalty they could get was 2,265. That was the average, I guess, for the payment in the scheme. So that's up on 8 million for those 3,600 farmers. But this isn't the full story, Jack, because I'd be worried about the 10,000 that are left in it that applied to defer the reference period to this year. We're going to be big stories to tell come December, because I think there could be a lot of those 10,000 farmers that will also not hit the reduced period by the 31st of December. So they could also have a huge amount of fines applied to them. But disappointing to see, I suppose, money being handed back from farmers. But that was the scheme, and I suppose the department flagged that well. And I don't think you're going to see any more leeway in this, Jack. I think the 31st of December this year is an absolute definitive. It's the end of the scheme. So for farmers that have deferred their period, very, very important to keep an eye on where their stocking rate is at. Go to their advisor, see where you're at, because the longer you leave it into the year, look, we're into September now, changes that you'll make between December or September and December won't have a huge impact now, because you need to be very big changes, you know. So look, it's an important one to watch.
Okay, that's good advice. The other two pieces I want to call out, Adam, there's a nice article there on Fermanagh, and I was a sucker farmer in Fermanagh, and I was thinking to myself, like, is he fairly typical of your clientele? Like, I mean, he's juggling two jobs alongside kind of managing his land base at home, managing his suckler, 25, 30 suckler cows. Like, you know, but he strikes as a guy who wants to do the suckling job well. Like, he's interested in livestock, he's interested in animals, but he's a busy bucle by the time he's all his bits and pieces tidied up. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Maybe two jobs is pushing it, Jack, but an awful lot of farmers in my area, in terms of the Northwest and Cavan and Fermanagh, there's an off-farm job along with the farm, and you sort of maybe use the off-farm job to subsidise income on the farm, and you allow that to maybe do development on the farm and maybe bits of sheds and improving things and improving stock. But very, very typical of a part-time farmer in that region, working on challenging ground. And as we said before, those farmers on challenging ground have to almost increase the quality of the stock, because you can't just bring in, you know, 20 average heifers and run them across it. Because you're restricted on stocking rate and because you're restricted on the amount of stock you can keep, farmers have decided over the last, you know, 10-20 years, look, it is as well to be a good one as a bad one, and that's the way maybe they operate their system, is through, you know, increasing into good cattle on small numbers.
Yeah. The other piece, and I know you're into it, is that you have a partnership there with the Irish Shows Association and FBD on this, the stock judging and the stock handling piece, the young person stock judging and handling. Like, I mean, like, there's a massive couple of pages there showing the kind of the young people that are involved, the profile of the young people that are involved in stock judging. That gig is on Saturday.
Yeah, Jack, like, it's massively positive to see so many young people entering into that competition. And we've known this for years. That show scene is really attracting a young cohort of people, new people coming to that scene every year. And if you open up the paper this week as part of that focus pages, look, it's a real positive read in terms of looking at those young people and what they're going to do at the weekend. So we partnered up with the Irish Shows Association and FBD Insurance to hold this All-Ireland National Championships at the weekend in Tullamore Mart. And if people want to log in to our social media channels during the day, we'll be on Twitter, we'll be on Facebook, and we'll be just profiling during the day what's been happening. There's a stock judging final at it, there's a showmanship final at it. So a really positive day, I suppose, for all involved, and hopefully they'll learn something out of it, and hopefully we'll be back next year with shows again. I suppose we wanted to give something back to young people this year. You don't want to lose that generation, Jack. It's been 2 years since those young people have showed animals, and we thought we'd try and do something for them and try and keep them involved in the industry.
Very positive. Adam, great initiative. Lastly, no rain, you must be happy. Like, and this Chateau Electric picnic might be on next year.
There is, Jack. It'll not make much difference maybe up here whether it's on or not, but I'll tell you what will make, like, it's a little bit frustrating to see Electric Picnic. I don't know how many thousand is going to go to Electric Picnic, or how many thousand was in Croke Park at the weekend, and maybe 500 go to an agricultural show, you know, in a local county, a local community. You know, it's frustrating to see that, Jack, that we couldn't have maybe ran one or two of them for the summer. And I know the Irish Shows Association are making noise now about, you know, maybe getting one or two before the end of the year. So I'd say maybe watch this space. We might get a show in September yet, you wouldn't know.
Okay, thanks, Adam. Back to you next week on some of those issues. Declan, looking at you in terms of, I suppose, giving us a feel for what's happening in terms of the dairy beef side of the house and the sheep side of the house. The last time I think I talked to you, you were just out of a farm walk down in Tipperary on a suckler farm. He was, I think he was, is a grassland farmer of the year on the kind of, I suppose, the suckler cow side of the house. Like, Talk to us maybe a little bit more about that in terms of, I think you were just digesting it when we caught you last time. Talk to us a little bit more about what was special about that farm walk.
Yeah, Jack, Thomas Hogan's farming there, just on the outskirts of Nina. The farm is divided in two with some land on either side of the town. So it's a difficult part to farm. But on the home farm, he has all the winter accommodation, and that's where he makes his silage, and that's where his bullocks graze. And then on the out farm is where the cows and calves and replacement heifers all graze. So he it's a fantastic piece of land. It's very dry. It's split into 10 permanent divisions. Then he can subdivide that again. He's got drinker's place in the right spots that he can subdivide all those paddocks again. He's probably 90% plus AI, so he's concentrating on using high replacement index bulls to produce his own replacements, and he's hoping to go down the route, you know, selling more replacement heifers down the road. And concentrating on getting the basics right, focusing on herd fertility and milk, keeping milk in his cows. And then on the grassland side of things, he started measuring grass in 2018. He grew just over 12 ton dry matter last year on the out farm. And he still, there's a lot of work to do there on the soil indices, but he's working on them. Problem is that with all the cattle wintered on the home farm, he's not getting any slurry on that out block. So it's, you know, he's trying to build his indexes there using chemical fertilizer, which, you know, doesn't come cheap. But he's doing it fairly well, and he's starting to reseed now and incorporate more clover on the farm as well.
Okay, nice one. So a bit like the Tullamore setup in terms of that model, we'll say, of that replacement cow and breeding that high index female. I mean, Darren, or Declan even, you talk about grass growth and kind of what's happening around the country. Is what's happening there in Nina reflective of what's happening around the country, or is there kind of big differences depending on where you are in the country?
I know. I think, Jack, grass growth across the country is very good at the moment. You've had the rain, the moisture's in the ground, and now we're getting the burst in heat. So definitely growth rates will be above average for the time of year, which is great to see. There's, you know, last round of fertilizer is happening. A lot of beef farms are getting out that with the closing date on the 15th of September. So, you know, they're going with 15, 20, 25 units of nitrogen, depending on their stocking rate. And just trying to build up a bank of grass ahead of the back end. In the Northwest, there's a lot of silage being wrapped up this week. You know, second cuts that were delayed for a couple of weeks due to the poor weather, they're all being wrapped up. And even there's a bit of reseeding going on, you know, just again, getting that last opportunity to get those few bits tidied up.
Okay. As you say, the Indian summer, I think we're not allowed to call it an Indian summer, but it is definitely helping not just the cereal farmers, as you say, some of those guys in the West that are wrapping up silage. Declan, can I come back to kind of what came up there in the quickfire piece around the kind of the dairy beef piece? I know you've sent some of the first Thrive heifers to the factory in the last couple of days, and I haven't seen any results on that. I'm looking forward to kind of seeing it. But I mean, in terms of, you know, those kind of heifers that might be coming fit early at low carcass weights, and I suppose how can farmers recognize that, or what can they do, like, I suppose, to kind of get them away before they get kind of penalized for overfat heifers in August or early September?
Yeah. A lot of it is to do with the year too, Jack. If you talk to a lot of guys that are finishing cattle, you know, cattle are coming fit earlier this year. Our first slaughter is a full month earlier than last year. So our carcass weights they're okay. They're at that 265 to 270 kilo mark. But we're over fat as well. We're hitting with, you know, fours, and even with at one heifer with the five minus, which we couldn't really see it on her when she was out in the field, but that's what we're getting, you know, a very small amount of concentrate going into those animals. They only started getting feed a couple of weeks ago. So you're talking 3 kilos for a couple of weeks. It's not going to make a big difference in fat score. You know, we probably should have pulled the pin on them from 1st of August, but then you're looking at your 245, 250 kilo carcass. Yeah. So it's that's dilemma of when to pull the pin. You know, you want a decent carcass weight to make the check add up somewhere. But obviously we overdid these ones. Now these were the smaller, you know, dumpier, fresh or fleshier type we're never going to do any more. So like they're out of the way now. I think what's left is a better type heifer. And we shouldn't be any issues again, but we'll be killing again next week, I would say.
Okay, it's a timely reminder for guys to get their hands on, I suppose, and start looking at some of those, as you say, smaller type animals that they have on the dairy beef job. Like, I mean, like they were February March born, Declan. They weren't hiding in the rushes ranting for a while, like, were they? No.
No, exactly. You're talking of February to early March born heifers, so you know they're 17, 18 months. done everything right. I'd say lifetime concentrate into those animals will be around 350 kilos. We're trying to get them to at least 500 kilos live before we kill them. But some of those were just bang on 500 and still, you know, you're getting overfat animals.
Excellent. We'll come back to it again next week, I think, Declan. Two quick ones on the sheep side of the house, Declan. Lamb prices in the factory, it's the year that keeps giving. The prices are holding, it's fair to say, is it?
Yeah, holding up, Jack. Definitely base quotes starting at €6, €6.10, €6.20 available. You know, when you include your QA bonus, you're talking €6.10 to €6.20. Producer groups even getting that little bit more, €6.30 in some cases, and up to €6.40 in exceptional cases once you include, say, QA and maybe a confirmation bonus as well. But numbers are still tight and factories still very active trying to secure numbers. There were 8,000 lambs came from the north this week for direct slaughter. Their price is kind of at the $4.95 a kilo pound. So that works at about $5.90 a kilo. So, you know, it's still attractive for them to send them south. But it's all been driven by a lack of throughput. So the throughput in the south is back 6% to date in 2021. Which is really driving the demand. And same in the UK, they're over 7% back in throughput as well. So that's all helping to keep the demand up.
Supply and demand, as you say, is calling it so. I mean, in theory, those lambs that are kind of going for slaughter now, they're probably the most profitable lambs that could, you know, most of them are grass-based. They haven't got any meal, I'd say it's probably fair to say, is it?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, the guys that were feeding hard earlier on, those lambs are gone through. At this stage, you're getting the ones coming off grass where probably, you know, creeps probably are just starting to go out maybe at this stage on a lot of those farms. So these ones will have probably got zero or very little meal. And you see that coming through in the markets as well. You know, prices again for lambs up 2 to 5 euro a head this week, which is great to see as well. You know, that's been passed back through the markets as well.
Excellent. Declan, last one for you. You have a couple of reports on the breeding sheep sales. Like, I mean, it's the time of the year for them, obviously. Like Ballinrobe, Carrick and Shannon, talk to me about kind of some of the numbers.
Yeah, look, a great trade by all means. I think probably not as hot and heavy as a lot of lamb producers maybe expected this year, given where lamb price and cull yo price is. You know, there's still very good prices being paid for breeding stock. I was in Ballinrobe on Saturday. The average just over 150 euro for the yo lambs, over 2,000 yo lambs on sale there. So it's great money. Like, that's actually back on last year, but last year they had just a bumper sale. So still to get 150 euro of an average is still a very good average. Last year they were up 28 euro on the previous year, so it just shows you where they're at. Carrick and Shannon, again, what was good was very good. Clearance wasn't so great in Carrick, with, you know, prices weren't meeting seller expectation, and maybe just expectations were too high in some cases, given where the price of lamb is at.
Okay, Declan, 100%. Thanks for that. We'll chat again next week and get a feel. I know you have a special Thrive webinar coming up on the 9th of September. So we'll talk about that again next week, I suppose, in advance. And that's on that whole piece around slaughter performance and dairy beef and finishing systems and the numbers, the money behind it all. So listen, we'll chat again on that next week. Thanks, Declan. Aidan, looking at you. Great. I was talking to Declan there about grass growth and the fact that they're making second cut silage up the west. Like, I mean, there's a big variation in terms of what's happening around the country. Is it the same for most of your guys?
Yeah, well, it's good, Jack. You know, I mean, growth is excellent the last week or 10 days. It was really well, really the last week when temperature started to increase. And like, the prospect is very good as well for the coming 10 days. So the only caution, I'd say, and I had it in the management notes this week, is just to be careful of going too much too soon in terms of average farm cover. So while we want to be building up cover this time of year, we don't want to be going too soon with it, because it means you're going to be wading through grass for all of September and all of October, and that's going to have a knock-on effect in terms of milk yield, but also in subsequent grass regrowth. And I suppose you don't want to be in a scenario whereby you take out a fair share of the farm for silage in late September. That just really wrecks the subsequent performance on those paddocks. So if you have a surplus, take it quickly, but do everything you can, I suppose, to increase demand now in order to avoid a high surplus later on. So that means it's basically cut back the meal, cut back the fertilizer, and bring on extra stock if you need. Just drive on now for the next few weeks and graze away as hard as you can, because there's plenty of growth there, and you'll still be building cover as well.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding, Aidan, is that there's a good share of farmers in the east of the country that are really low cover, that have been feeding a lot for the last 6, 8, even 10 weeks, like in terms of silage and meal even. Like, I mean, they'll really want to be putting down the foot now, will they? Like, they can't grow too much now, can they? Like, is that fair to say? Like,
they can, I think, Jack, because most of those farmers are still at an average farm cover now of, we say, 800 or 900, which is around 200 a cow, and at this stage it should be over 300 a cow. So, you know, they're gonna, now they're gonna double their demand, you know, this week in terms of growth rate, so they'll pick up very quickly. Okay, you're right, in one sense they're behind on where they normally are, but they're still growing fairly well. And those in the west and maybe the south that weren't under pressure for grass all along, they're probably not going to get the same lift in growth as we're seeing elsewhere, because, you know, there's no real compensatory growth that we want for them. And, like, you know, I know it's we're talking about grass and not cattle, but like that is there in grass as well, because there's a big buildup of nitrogen in the soil, and the conditions are just right now. There's moisture, heat, okay, daylight hours are decreasing, but like everything else is it's in your favor. So I think, in fairness, it's going to be good for everyone.
Okay, I was going to ask you, but you probably answered it. Like, in terms of that last round of nitrogen, you know that last round of bag stuff. Like, I mean, a lot of guys, if you are short, you'd probably be going earlier rather than later. You know, I mean, you'll get a better response in August than you will in September. Am I right?
Definitely, yeah. So I would say that maybe they should have spread blanket spread last week and go again then the last days of the open period. Now, in terms of rates, like, I'd still be saying, if you're splitting it like this, I'd say 17, 18 units of nitrogen is probably plenty. If you're only going out to last round this week, you're not going to spread again after this. Probably somewhere between 20, 25 units of nitrogen per acre is probably still sufficient. I think you're going to get strong growth rates for the next couple of weeks. And if you are under pressure for grass all along, there probably is excess nitrogen in the soil, so it'll be there for you now when you need it.
Okay, Aidan, you have a piece there on the Yone's control program this week in the paper. I mean, for me, there used to be a lot more, I call it noise, but there used to be a lot more in the media about it. It seems to have kind of gone under the radar a bit to an extent. And is that because kind of it's not as big a problem as maybe was first kind of envisaged at a certain stage?
Yeah, Jack, and like, I mean, in fairness, it's not as though it's gone away, but it was, as you're dead right. Like, I mean, we used to discuss it a lot more, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. But it, like, the reality is, Yone's as a disease hasn't gone away. I think a lot of the noise maybe around it was around Crohn's disease and the potential there for the link between, you know, this bacteria that causes Yone's, is it the same bacteria that causes Crohn's disease? And are people picking up Crohn's disease from, you know, unpasteurized milk or pasteurized milk or that kind of thing? And that, like, I mean, there's no, that's supposed to be clear, there's no link there. So the Food Safety Authority of Ireland haven't found the link there. But, well, they haven't said there's a link there, but they haven't said there isn't a link either. So there's still, you know, issues around that. And I suppose the fear is that if something was found in that area, what impact that's going to have in terms of dairy, and how can we stand over Irish dairy as being free of Yone's? So this control program then was established in 2018 by AHI. And, like, to be honest, like, the uptake has been relatively poor. There's about 1,800 farmers enrolled in it. And so there's a lot more scope for people to go into it. So I'm just basically looking at this week, and like it sounds very daunting, Jack, you know, and you're reading the literature on it and it's really complicated and complex, but actually it's not, when you get into the nuts and bolts of it. Like, you know, it can be simplified. I would say to AHI, they should be simplifying their leaflets better. So they basically, you need to blood test or milk sample all animals in the herd. So obviously, if it's dairy cows, go milk sampling and then blood test anything over 2 years of age. If any of them come back positive, you need to go away and get a dung sample taken. And if that's positive, then your herd is effectively considered test positive. So you talk to your vet then, and there's steps involved in managing that. If they come back negative, you're basically free for the next year and you're considered test negative. Now, the problem with the Yone's disease is, and the testing around it, is that there's an awful lot of false negatives. So if an animal is negative on the test, she may or may not actually be negative, because, you know, it's a fair chance that she could also be positive. So you just keep testing every year for the next couple of years, and you're going to end up with you get a very good picture of where your herd is in terms of a Yone's disease. One of the key things is, and AHI are looking to put the status of the animal, of your herd, I should say, whether it's a mark board or on your catalogue or whatever, when you're selling the animal. And if that comes in, like, it's going to get the conversation started on Yone's big time. Because, you know, if you've run a test positive herd for Yone's, like chances are that your animals won't be worth as much as they were yesterday. Like, so death may or may not happen. They're having issues around getting that in place, naturally enough. But if I would say to farmers that if you've a fair share of your farm business is around stock sales, now is your chance to get involved in this program. And it's more or less free, Jack. So the co-ops are paying for the milk sampling, the milk testing. You have a small cost to pay in terms of getting blood samples taken, but nearly everything else is covered. Like, so it's not a big expense. So now's the time to do it if you are going to do it at all.
Okay, excellent. And of course, it is still a notifiable disease. Like, so, I mean, if you have it, you should be notifying someone. But it's okay. If anyone wants more on the Yonis piece, I think you can go to the paper and you'll get a lot more on that, or online indeed. Aidan, the other piece that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks is the nitrate side of things in terms of that review that's ongoing at the moment. Like, you're getting a lot of queries in on kind of, you know, case studies of farmers that are coming forward with queries, questions, you know, problems, I suppose, they don't know exactly what's happening. And you're thinking of pulling them all together into a kind of a special webinar on this job.
Yeah, so we're looking for farmers. I've got a good few of them already. We're looking for farmers that, you know, if they have something in the back of the mind, they're not sure about it, whether it's right or wrong or what the law behind it is, send in the question to us. We're going to have a webinar next Monday night, and we're going to trash all those things out. So, you're right. Like, I mean, a lot of the issues around soil water storage and what constitutes enough storage, and can you mix it with what constitutes even soil water? Can you mix it with slurry, and the rationale behind all those things? So definitely send in your queries, and we'll trash them out. And look, I mean, there's a period there. The consultation is open now. So this is the time to be doing those things. This is the time to be having the conversation. And definitely, I'd say send it in, and we'll there'll be a chance then for the department to make changes if they feel it's necessary.
All right, folks, that's it for another week. Thanks for watching, and indeed, thanks for listening. Thanks to all our own specialists, and indeed to our editor, Justin McCarthy, for his thoughts on the future of suckling in Ireland, given the proposed new CAP rules. If you want more Farmers Journal webinars, go to ifj.ie/webinar, including the Rights of Way webinar that was on Wednesday night. You'll get it there. Or you can listen to the show as a podcast, wherever you get your podcast. We'll be back again next week. Until then, stay safe and safe farming.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.